first Sunday of Advent, the gospel reading tells us, and Jesus tells us directly, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And I thought, well, there's a very simple, a very simple mandate. It's very clear. Watch. You know, we've heard this reading before. What does it mean for us to watch now? Like, what are we watching for? What are we waiting for?
Sure. The church invites us at the beginning of Advent to watch, to be vigilant, to pay attention. However, we want to sort of paraphrase, well, what Jesus says is pretty clear. Watch and be alert. We want to pay attention so that we don't miss what God is doing in our midst. We celebrate at Christmas, of course, what happened one time in history, the coming of the Son of God as man. But God didn't just sort of pop in to visit briefly and now has left us alone. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to experience the action of God in our lives now. And Jesus is inviting us to pay attention to that, to turn up our interest, we might say, in God's plan for us, both in terms of God's plan for the salvation of the world, but also to be paying attention to God's action in the particulars of our own daily lives.
That latter part, the daily life thing, I think is a particular challenge this time of year when obviously the hustle and bustle increases. There's a lot of concentration on the day of Christmas. We're ramping up all the way to the big celebration. We're going to open presents. We're going to see all our family. We're going to have the big blowout. And there, obviously, there's a certain anticipation there. We're waiting. When we were kids, we were waiting for being able to open presents. We're waiting for Santa to come. But I find often in my experience that like Advent is not as much of a waiting as the other penitential season, Lent. It's often easy for it to get lost in the shuffle of being celebratory the whole time. One of the things that I know I need help with is, what are the things getting in the way of my attentiveness? How am I not being alert at this time? Because it's not just waiting for this thing that already happened, and we're going to commemorate it again. So it's not just a commemoration we're waiting on, but am I waiting for him now? So how do I live silence? How do I find that quiet, that time?
Advent coincides in our culture, not surprisingly, with the days leading up to Christmas, which is both a secular celebration and, of course, a liturgical and religious one for us. And it often feels more like a project than anything else, that all the things that have to be done are prepared for, either for Christmas or for the other celebrations that fill up Advent that are Christmas-like, sort of spin-offs of Christmas, at least in a secular sense. So we're all caught up in this in various ways, in this project that Christmas has become. A challenge to our faith during this season is to think about what God has done and is doing. We remember that we're saved because of God's project, God's work, God's action in our lives, and not by our own efforts. As a matter of fact, because there's so much busyness during this season, our own efforts can actually distract us from being watchful and noticing and receiving what God is offering us in the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ. We do remember the first coming of Jesus at Christmas, and as the Advent weeks go on, we'll focus more on that first coming again. At the beginning of the season now, we are encouraged to be alert because the Lord is going to come again in glory. We'll encounter him, of course, each of us at the end of our lives, and that day is coming. But the coming again of Jesus is something for which we should be preparing and which we should anticipate. The Lord came in quiet and in humility at his first coming in Bethlehem. But we gather from the scriptures, when the Lord comes again, it's not going to be quiet. It's going to be a huge disruption in the heavens and on earth. The Lord will come in righteousness and in power to put things right, to establish final justice, we might say, to reorder things that are out of order. Now, he's offering us the opportunity to prepare for that, to begin or to continue to order our own lives according to the light of the gospel, so that we are good stewards now while the Lord is away, and we'll be prepared to meet him when he comes.
So watch, see what he's doing now, and continue to be attentive to the fact that he will come in glory at the end of all things. Any particular ways you would recommend specifically to try to cultivate interior silence? I could turn off the radio and, you know, it could be quiet in my room, but the interior part is the stickier one, so.
In our Catholic tradition, we were offered during this season many helps to be more attentive and to become more quiet so that we can hear the word of the Lord and recognize the signs of his presence and of his activity in our lives. The scripture readings for the Sundays and the weekdays of Advent are really rich with the promise of God that's expressed often by the prophets, but in other ways in scripture. It's important for us to be quiet and to listen to what God is promising, because God is as good as his word. And so in order to be able to recognize the activity of God in our own lives, to hear again what God has promised to do for us all throughout history and what he has been faithful in doing, I would encourage then a meditation on the scripture readings for the Sundays of Advent, but also for the weekdays. Even if someone is not able to go to a weekday Mass, the readings are readily available to us to carve out a little quiet time, maybe at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, to read those scripture passages with a sense that this is something that God wants me to hear today. So we pay attention to the Word of God. There's also an encouragement to come to the Sacrament of Reconciliation during the season of Advent. And it's another place where we encounter God's action in our lives in a very powerful but also gentle way. We meet the merciful Lord. And in a sense, we come again to recognize, to see the reason why Jesus has come. Our Heavenly Father has sent his Son to us so that we might have forgiveness and life. He's come not first as our judge, but as our Savior, and he extends his saving mercy to us in that sacrament. It's best if we're able to receive the sacrament of penance and reconciliation to plan for it, so to pick out a date when we know that that sacrament will be offered and plan to be there, and then in anticipation of that day to ready our hearts and our minds to be watchful for the coming of the Lord into our lives in a very personal way with his mercy. So that where we have not been attentive and where we have been so preoccupied with our own plans and even our own willfulness, we have the opportunity in that sacrament to allow the Lord to come to us very personally for the reason that he has come, so that we can have forgiveness and life. The giving of gifts and the preparing to do that is also not a bad thing. It can become overly commercialized, and we can become too preoccupied with lavish gifts. At the same time, being attentive to the needs of others or wanting to give a gift to someone, it's a reminder to us of how God deals with us and reminds us of the gift, the perfect gift that the Savior is for us at every moment in our lives. Our Heavenly Father has given us the gift of his Son not because we're so deserving and not because he had to. Not because there's some pressure on him, as we might feel, you know, to give Christmas gifts. There's no pressure on our Heavenly Father to give us the gift of his Son. It's a pure gift. It's important then that we try to make our own gift giving as much a pure gift, a sign of kindness and favor to those whom we love, or even to those that we don't even know who we have the opportunity to share with during this season. And as much as possible, we try to put ourselves in the frame of mind as I'm not doing this because it's expected of me, but because I would like to share something good with someone that I care about or with someone who is in need.
Yeah, gratuity, overflowing at the mercy that's received. This is how we're, you know, living mercy is one of the priorities we've been trying to keep in front of us.
Yeah, it seems that, you know, receiving the gift of mercy in an explicit way in the sacrament of reconciliation, receiving the gift of the Eucharist and being more intentional and reflective about that brings home to me the nature of the gift in God's providence. My gift-giving, then, can become more a reflection of that once I've allowed myself to experience it in such a profound way.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice. For more information, visit archomaha.org/podcast.